June meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education, and thank everyone for being here. I would ask you at this time to please stand and join me as we honor America with a pledge to the flag.
Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Next is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Any additions, corrections, deletions to the agenda? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under special reports and presentations, is our good news segment. Mr. Eby.
My good news comes from the preschool. The preschool staff set up a booth at the Secret City Festival on June 9th and 10th to help promote the program and possibly gain new students. Passed out books and crayons to children, and parents were provided with preschool contact information as well as application for those interested.
Ms. McLean.
My good news comes from Willowbrook. Willowbrook students collected 620 pounds of donations for the Goodwill Sack Pack Material Drive. This is over half the amount collected by the entire school district. Also, the Willowbrook Girls on the Run group collected over 90 pounds of pet food to donate to the Oak Ridge Animal Shelter. And finally, fourth grade students Carnella Frazier and Lily Woods both placed in the Da Vinci Art and Science Fair. Carnella won third place for her artwork submission for her grade level, and Lily won third place for her science fair project. And that's good news from Willowbrook.
And that's just some of the good news that continues to go on in the Oak Ridge schools, even though many of our staff and students are enjoying summer break. There's still a lot going on this summer in the schools, and probably be hit on the head for saying this, but it won't be long before school's back in session. So we'll look forward to the continuation of the good things that happen in the Oak Ridge schools. Next item is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
I'm sorry. I'm looking right at that. I apologize. I was thinking about school starting again. It just threw me right off. Okay, next is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in, and then state your name and address for the record. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, I will move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we move to items for action. The first item, item A, revised FY18 budget. This would be a first reading on that item. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the revised FY18 budget.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
As the board can see on the attachment, that we have a memo from Ms. Gagliano, and in this recommendation, we're recommending a 3% salary adjustment for all staff. So this budget, as you see it, would include that item. And much of this was made possible. Generosity of our discussions with the city, the recurring money, the $538,000, which was very helpful which we are thankful for. And also, as the board knows, Karen has been watching these revenue pieces from Anderson County. Roan, we've kept you up to speed with this. And we've recently discussed, you know, waiting for this BEP estimate, and we received that estimate late Friday afternoon, which was a positive. We had an additional $122,000 with that estimate. So with all of those factors combined, we feel as if a 3% raise is now doable given the parameters that we've been looking at.
Comments or questions from the board? Mr. Eby?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. So originally, to get 2.5% raise, we were asking for $538,000 reoccurring, and I agree. I appreciate the city's support for that. But we also need an additional $319,000 on top of that to get 2.5%. And now we found the state is providing additional funds of $122,000. And we're asking for 3%. I'm having trouble with that math adding up.
Okay. If you recall, we also did some scenarios in regards to the county revenue, and we still have to receive this month's receipts and then next month. So we had some estimates to do, and I provided you with some tables that showed some very conservative estimates all the way to some not very conservative, and we kind of focused in on one that was sort of middle of the row, and that one was right around the same amount of money that we were asking the city for, a little bit more than that for the $317,000 extra beyond the 538. And so we were able to, being still conservative, we were able to realize that 317 plus a little bit more, still under 400,000, but that together with the 122 enabled us to fund the 3%.
And Karen, at the time that motion was made, as Mr. Eby suggested, I don't believe we had the new Anderson County revenue piece that really went up after that recommendation, and in addition to the BEP payment or estimate.
So I'm looking at the sheet that you provided. Thank you, Ms. Eagle. And I see the three options: least conservative, more conservative, and mildly conservative. And so which one are you now on at this point in time? The mildly conservative?
The one at the bottom, the mildly conservative, that was the 317.
Right. And so what you're saying is that with the additional funds that you got from the city, the 538 that you got from the city, and the additional funds you got from the BEP, and the projected what you think you're going to get from the county, is that will more than cover the need for the 317, because it says a net recurring cost of 194. So you're not asking for that.
Right. The 194 was made up between, I can say this in broad terms, but the 317 plus the 122. Plus, it was a little bit more from the county, so we made up the 194.
Okay, so this is kind of hard to say. Obviously, I think I've been a supporter of increasing the salaries as much as anybody has for our staff, and I'm delighted that we're able to give 2.5%. But I also think that there's other places where we ought to look at where we might make some modifications. And I'm thinking about all the staff that used to support the, what was that fund, Mr. Philhour?
Extended contract.
Extended contract, where we have staff who come in and spend hours on hours doing extra things, whether it's robotics or TSA or videoing school board meetings, et cetera, that no longer get that extended contract. And I guess I'm a little hesitant just off the top to immediately go from a 2.5% raise. I mean, I'm delighted that we have extra funds here. Have we really looked at where those extra funds could best be used as opposed to going right into a salary increase at this point in time? And like I say, as bad as it sounds, and I think Ms. Marshall, I haven't talked to her about this, but I know that at previous board meetings, you know, she's been concerned about, you know, where are the funds and the salaries. And I know the city is doing a compensation study. I guess, you know, in some ways I would like to understand an evaluation of not only our teachers, but the administrative staff and other staff that we have, how they fit with regard to the market. So I'm going to vote against this, and I would make an amendment. My amendment is to maintain the 2.5% raise that we had in our original budget, and then do a study, and maybe we come back in October or whenever it is and make it retroactive and make it 3%. But I think we owe it to ourselves to really evaluate what these additional funds mean to us and where they best might be spent. So I would like to make a motion to modify this motion and include a 2.5% raise, and then at least spend a little bit of time to evaluate how we ought to spend this other funds that we're getting from the state and from the county.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to maintain. The motion is to maintain in the budget a 2.5% raise for staff. Is there a second to that motion? And I don't know how I will vote yet, but I think I'm going to second the motion, because I think we need a little discussion right here on that. So for that purpose, I will second the motion so we can have hear from the other board members to get your thoughts and ask some questions in regard to some of the points that Mr. Eby brought up. So for that purpose, I will second the motion. Comments, Ms. McClain.
So in the past, we've had the extended contract that we do not have anymore. How much was that about?
And I'm going to turn to Karen and Mr. Lay to help me answer this, and Bruce, tell me if I'm on track here, but I think we were close to $82,000 a year. Is that appropriate?
Towards the end?
Yes, sir. The last year was 2013, and we had $82,000, which represented 69 positions that took place or activities before school or after school.
$82,000? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. $82,000, yes, sir.
And I think some of the difficulty is we've spoken, you know, some of those folks, all well-deserving, of course. Some of them stopped in 2013. Some of them continued to do what they've done since 2013. And we really didn't have a systemic look at all of that. It was kind of what we did, and they were all doing wonderful things for students. But I think what I want to just impress upon the board is all of these things take time, and July 1 is right around the corner for our current staff. So if that is going to be a recommendation, we certainly can wrap that into what you refer to, Mr. Eby, as our looking at all of our salaries, what we've talked about last month or so. We actually have a conference call with our Lean Frog consultants tomorrow on this very matter.
Karen,
I just wanted to also make a point on that when the extended contract money went away, we did add money to the equivalent amount in the budget back in, but we had other needs to address that were along the kind of the same line but different, and that was intercession and some of the extra stuff that was done. So the money, more money did get put in to replace some of that, but we still have the need.
What is the amount of the 0.5%?
Well, of 1% was Each 1% was $382,494, so it's going to be about half of that, so about $180,000.
Okay.
So that's for 600 people versus 69.
I'm sorry?
So that's like for 600 people versus 69 people, like spread out over.
So 0.5% is $180,000.
$140,000.
About 180.
100, yeah.
I thought you said 382 for, oh, 190. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Mr. Reddick, are you back there?
I am, sir.
I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know you've been put on the spot many times before, so this won't be. I know OREA came before the board and made a salary presentation and had a number of items in that salary presentation.
Yes.
As you hear this motion and some of the discussion, do we have a feeling from OREA?
Well, as fate would have it, we were having a meeting this afternoon of the new officers and working on our constitution and bylaws. And so when Dr. Lee contacted me earlier today after I'd emailed Dr. Borchers and Ms. Gagliano, Dr. Lee put the question to me, and I talked it over with the incoming crowd, and the feeling among them, among all of them, was that the 3% idea was what appealed to them the most, because they felt like it would benefit all teachers across the system. One of the things that happens anytime the state makes a salary increase, votes a salary increase, as they did this year, 4%, as everybody immediately thinks that means we're going to get it, or we should get it, or that's the number they hear floating around. Of course, we know it's a lot more complicated than that, but the general feeling, if I remember back to the survey results when we solicited input from the staff about questions of tuition and teachers, students' tuitions and that kind of thing, and input on salary, a salary increase was by far the most common request made. Be sure we try to get as much as we can just to keep up with the cost of living. We had some people float wilder ideas than that, but we know we have to live in the real world. And the feeling today was, well, if 3% is 3% is generous. I mean, I think that's the number we had last year as well. So I think that's going to help our school system continue to try to remain competitive as we fight to have the best teaching staff available or possible. And in this area, we know we've lost some ground over the years. It's not just this past year, but over the years to systems in the rival counties and other city systems. So 3% is certainly not going to be misspent. I think it would be a good investment in our staff. I completely understand Mr. Eby's point, though, about extended contract, because I know a number of people who work for free, who've continued to tutor before school and after school, who continued to do all of the other extracurricular programming that the school system offers. And I myself don't know which ones of those, if any of them, have any compensation. I know in the past we've talked that many of them do not, but I'll speak from my own personal experience. I know that in the coaching world, we've not seen a stipend increase over just except for the dollar, adjustment. In middle school track and cross country, we've now added a regional competition and a state competition, and those extend the season by almost a month. And there are any number of deserving people in the school system. I would, to summarize, I would say the general consensus today was 3% would be what they would prefer. We had a couple of different ideas that had been floated by Dr. Lee earlier, but I think by the end of the day, the question about extended contracts or something like that had come back around, and everybody was still nodding 3% benefits everybody. So I think if you're looking for a recommendation based on a sample of six people, there you go.
Let me ask this question.
Yes.
This is more to Dr. Borchers. You say that, you know, pressing for time, July's coming. I understand that. The city is going to do their study, and they're going to make it retroactive back to, you know, from October back to the beginning of the year. I will first say this, is that, you know, even if I support this, I'm not going to support that we have a second reading on it tonight because Ms. Marshall is not here, and I think this is such a critical decision that we have to make. I think the full board ought to vote on this, and I think we ought to have a, you know, an odd number to vote on it. So I'll say that up front. But why do you have to have it? I mean, I'm all for giving the 2.5% right now and then making the 3% if that's what the board decides to do. And I'm not saying I don't agree with that. That may be the best thing in the world, but making that retroactive. Why do you have to have it tonight?
I'd ask, Karen, do you want to share? And then we'll have Dr. Lee come up, because those are the folks that are doing most of the work to get this ready for staff. So whoever wants to go first, Karen, Dr. Lee?
Speak while she's coming up. It's just in order to implement the first payroll of the fiscal year and to make sure that everybody realizes it on their July 15th check, because every single person has to be touched and everybody has to be changed, and the system contracts and all that have to be issued. And to do that whole process twice within a few months just doesn't seem like a good use of time. We have to have the budget into the state to get that finalized. So I guess
when you have the budget into the state, you mean you have to have it down to what's going into the salaries and what's going into the.
Yeah, like remember when we had the issue before where we didn't have the information and we were really pushing for October 1st to have everything.
Right, so you have to have it in by October 1st,
yeah,
right?
For the BEP, to receive the BEP.
So October 1st, okay.
Yeah.
We have been in this, found ourselves in this situation before, and we can certainly do the whole process two times. It is not impossible to do the whole process two times, but if you're thinking about in terms of manpower and productivity, it is much easier to make your decision and move forward one time. There's not to say that we certainly can't do it twice.
I just think, I mean, this came up today. This is a very important decision that we have to make. It's a critical decision. Like I say, I think I probably support teacher salaries as much as anybody in this school system have for 30 plus years. But it's not a decision that I want to make tonight at this point in time. And because of that, I'm certainly willing to go ahead and pass, you know, I'll vote that we accept the 2.5% at this point in time. And then, you know, sometime within the next couple of weeks, you know, at least we look at it, and it gives Ms. Marshall an opportunity to weigh in too. That's my position.
We do not, that would, what is the date in July that the first payroll check goes?
It would be July 15th, but, you know, all kinds of stuff has to happen before the bank transfers and whatnot.
I don't have my correct calendar with me, but we do not meet again until August the 7th, I believe,
right.
Would be correct. So if we wanted to deal, we'd either have to wait and deal with it then or call a special call meeting sometime in July.
And if I could add, I mean, the type of discussion we're having, we won't have any new information by, you know, middle of July. I mean, we're just having our initial conversation with the consultant on what we want to share with the board as far as what we're reviewing, so we bring back the right things. We're easily a month out, given our work with them, from scheduling a first meeting, and then that's looking at your particular availability as well. So we won't have any new information for this year's budget, but we certainly can be planning for a study. But this will not be something that we'll be able to get back to the board by October, November. And this will take some time.
So let me ask this question. If that's the case, then, and they recommend that we do something different with the funds, and we spend all our funds, how will we be able to, you know, follow what they're recommending?
Our initial plan was to do this entire study of our entire district and have it ready for the FY19 school year, so the board could see everything in its entirety, so you'd have some ability to make a really informed decision. So we never had planned to be done in September or October. We were trying to do this as a whole and bring it to the board, have the board be informed for the FY19 budget season. That was our plan as an executive team.
Ms. Eagle.
While I very much appreciate and agree with the need to come up with a pot of money that's something like extended contracts, because I work with some of the teachers who are there for many hours after school doing TSA and robotics, and I know there are others doing other things. At the same time, I do have to put some weight with what OREA has told us, that with what our teachers would prefer. The other suggestion that came up, the discussion by email about potentially paying more of the health insurance part, that's also a good idea, but given the short time frame, and we know that our salaries relative to others have been slipping, I would be more comfortable with staying with 3%. And I am hopeful that with the revitalization that seems to be occurring in our retail, that we will in the future have a little more cushion to do these things that we need to do.
Would you expect OREA to say anything differently? I would honestly not know. I would tell you that, I mean, I'm in the working world. That's exactly what I would say too. You know, I think we're in the position that we have to take the responsibility of doing what's best for the school system. But I can promise you, if I were sitting in an OREA seat, I would say I would sooner have that cash in my pocket than, you know, possibly someplace else. And I would sooner have it now, and I would sooner have it, OREA being an organization of 400 teachers or whatever it is, I would sooner have it spread out equally among all 400 people as opposed to focusing it on a certain group of people. So I've supported OREA. I continue to support OREA. This is one of those things that we as a Board of Education have a responsibility that I'm just asking, are we doing the right thing for the schools at this point in time?
And if I could just add, all of the things that have been discussed, brought up, whether they've been sent to me or asked of staff, I think we all agree that all of these things should be reviewed and studied. I think what we're really talking about is the timeline. And I just want to share, we'll be talking about FY19 by the time we have this all wrapped up. But please know, our staff totally understands that all of these items we're discussing should be reviewed.
Karen. Are we at a point right now where what additional monies are pending that we do not have a fixed number yet?
We do not have a fixed number on the county revenue at this point because we still have this next month to receive. We actually won't receive it till July, the final stuff. And then we only have this June estimate of the BEP. The July estimate is, July is the final. So there could
for the
be
BEP.
Some, yeah, there could be some change between this month and next month as well. But we, you know.
Based on your knowledge and experience, what is the is there any likelihood that the BEP money, the final report, would be less?
Well, I think we're feeling pretty confident about our ADM numbers because we have people that are checking them daily and on top of it. So the two things that could change in the BEP is if our counts were wrong And then the second thing is, if other districts' counts were wrong, because there's basically one pot of money at the state divided by ADMs, so if someone else, you know, had to add more in or something, then it would take away from everybody. So hopefully by this, you know, stage of the game, the other districts have done their checking and have gotten their numbers corrected.
Yeah.
So is this something that you just found out because the state just increased their funds, or how come we didn't know this before?
Because we get a estimate every month from the state, and it's to help you with budget, so you know somewhat what you're doing. But from month to month, there are adjustments because of mistakes in districts. So that we just found out this, yes, 3:30 on Friday. I hate that they always send it at the end of the day on Friday when we're trying to make decisions.
That their increase went up $122,000.
It went up $122,000. Their pot of money probably stayed the same, but the distribution changed. So I was happy it didn't go the other way.
Oh, yeah. No. And so they'll do another one before, or one or two before they...
Well, next month is the final.
Okay. And so it could go back down $122,000.
It's been going up steadily, so I don't... I mean, each month it went up a little bit. Like last month it went up $28,000, so... I wouldn't think, like I said, at this late in the game that there would be a district that would have their ADM so incorrect and not have them corrected by now, because most people are working on their budgets.
Is it possible to determine, as we sit here tonight, if there will be any additional monies above what has been projected to this point?
Well, the figure that we're using for the county,
and I'm talking across the board, not sure. Just the BEP, across the board, yeah. With everything,
the figure that we're using for the county revenue is a moderately conservative figure. So yes, it could be better. I doubt that it's going to be less. I'm feeling pretty comfortable with the numbers and not being like wildly out there. We got our adjustment in April, which really hit us hard, and then we sort of recouped a little bit in May, and hoping that the pattern of increase over last year's amounts will continue in these last two months of receipts. You know, worst case scenario, if something were to happen that it didn't materialize, we would have to take some measure, like using a portion of fund balance just this one time to meet the budget, something of that nature. The other thing that we're working within, just to keep in mind, is the city has approved a bottom line allocation for us. So we are working within that bottom line allocation. Even if we did think that we were going to get more revenue, we would have to amend the budget and take it back in order to use it. We have that $500,000 built in for setting up grants that we weren't aware of, and different adjustments and stuff in the budget. And this particular, we used 194 of that $300,000 just to stay within the bottom line that the city has approved. So we don't have to turn around right away and go back and amend the budget. So there's some other factors at play as we try to deliver this.
So let's not be mildly conservative for a moment. What would be your best guess estimate of money, additional money, above what you think we're going to, that above that mildly conservative estimate? What would your best guess estimate be of that amount? What would that be?
It could be another $100,000. I mean, originally when I was looking at it, it ranged from like $250,000 to $400,000. And, you know, that's if the crystal ball's working correctly. because we have just strange patterns at times, and it's hard to work that into the trend. So that's why I always like to be on the conservative side.
Could it be $82,000?
It could be.
Okay. Other questions?
I have one more. So you said that if we didn't get the funds that we were asking for, that we would could use some of our fund balance. But what we're talking about here is...
Excuse me, I'm thinking like $100,000, something like that. Nothing huge, yeah, not like $500,000 or anything like that.
I understand. But what we're talking about here is increasing our recurring cost, mm-hmm. an additional $380,000 or something like that.
Well, the difference between 2.5 and 3 is about half that.
$190,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you can't use fund balance for that recurring cost unless you know that you're going to get it back next year. And so here's my question. We go to city next year and we say, we need an additional $190,000 to make up the salaries and non-recurring cost. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, we gave you $538,000 last year. And after we gave you that money, oh, you came up with additional funds. So why should we give you another $190,000 this year?
I would say if you want exact numbers, we'll have to do the budget in October, because the way this is set up, it's based on estimates, and it can't be exact. It never will be exact. So, and we have told them that up front, that that's, we're giving it our best shot. And I would hope that next year at this time, our revenues would increase to the point where we could cover that additional 190. And I really hope that they're going to increase more than that, because not only are we deficit budgeting the 190, we're deficit budgeting $1.3 million. So if you want to think in those terms, in reality, we got a lot of catching up to do, because those items on that one-time list.
So you just scared me even more.
They can qualify on the list, but they're not necessarily one time.
Yeah, but you just scared me even more. I guess I would still think that the prudent thing to do would be to give the 2.5 and then to see for sure or better that the state and the county are going to come through and then bump it up at that point in time and make it retroactive. I just think that's the, I mean, you may be, you know, you feel very conservative, but when you say that we're deficit spending that much now, you know, just adding that much more just
well, you've been doing that for several years, so it's nothing that's just this year.
Yeah, this year, and the city gave us the 538 at, and they hesitated in doing that, you know. I mean, they had a lot of discussion on that. So I suspect that next year is going to be a difficult year to get through. So hopefully not. Hopefully we will get all the sales tax revenues in that Ms. Eagle's talking about. I mean, we all shop Oak Ridge. We can make that happen, you know. But it's, I guess I'm the pessimist on that this standpoint. I just worry about that. So.
I'm thinking if you went that way, that it might be, I don't know, maybe Dr. Lee has a different opinion, but I'm thinking if you may want to just hold off and do the salary increase in its entirety at one time, rather than do a portion and then come back and change and do
how difficult
portion.
Is it to do it twice? Because, I mean, I think they, you know, people got vacation, they got summer plans, and, you know, I mean, they're probably counting on something in their paycheck, so...
And Dr. Lee was very professional when she said her staff could do this twice, but it is an endeavor, Dr. Lee.
Well, because you're using different percentages, if we roll all the salaries over and touch each person, we'll do them at whatever percentages that you decide on, for example, 2.5. If in October we decide to do a 3% because the revenue materialized to everyone's satisfaction. It is basically starting the process over, re-exporting everything, and doing everything twice. And it creates a retro payroll operation where the people in payroll have to make an adjustment, so that creates extra work for them. And I did, sitting next to Pat back there, we do need everything by July 10th. So when we're talking about July 15th for electronic payroll to go through, we're really talking about July 10th. And it is the 19th of June. So just in terms of our time frame.
Any additional monies that I was talking about in our earlier conversation goes in direct, would go to fund balance?
And we do still have some of that contingency left, so we could amend the budget to do that without going back to the city, depending on how much it was. But then at some point, if we receive grants that we couldn't include in the bottom line, we would have to amend the budget at the city level.
Remind me what that contingency is.
It's on the both the revenue side and the expenditure side. It's a $500,000 placeholder on the okay.
Other questions or comments from the board? Any comments or questions from the audience? Okay. We have a motion on the floor, which is an amendment to the original motion. And that amendment is to maintain a 2.5% raise in that budget for staff. I can't say, maybe someday let's go to the board. Maybe someday we can, in our new facility.
I think that was maintained 2.5% until some point in time that we made it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that would be,
right.
Yeah. Everybody clear on that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not carry. Does not carry. So we're back to the original motion. That original motion is to revise the FY18 budget as you heard in the motion. Questions there or comments? Comments from the audience? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is to approve the revised FY18 budget on first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. We move now to item B, revised FY18 budget, second reading. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Agle. Dr. Borchers, any comments there?
Given our time frame discussion that we've had, we would appreciate this being approved second reading this evening so our staff can hit the ground running tomorrow morning to get this process moving.
I move that we table this until we can have all five board members vote on this, and that could be done by a telecon vote.
Sorry, just thinking through the process here for a minute.
I think you got to take a vote on the table.
Yeah. would you... Let me just ask you a question before we vote, if I can. I guess I can do that. Would you have a recommendation of a time frame for that to be done?
We could do it tomorrow as soon as Ms. Marshall is available. I just think that this is a very important decision that should have all five members vote on, since it is a significant change at the last minute from the budget that we proposed and that we discussed at an extensive length of time.
Ms. Marshall is out of the country too, so that creates some issues.
But when do we know when she's coming back?
You know.
Well, we said July 10th is when Ms. Lee said they had to have it by July 10th. We're a long ways off from July 10th. I think we could.
I don't think you need a second here.
No, you have to vote on this. You have to vote on the table.
So a second is not needed to do this. So would you just state that again, please, sir?
I move that we table this second reading until we can have all five board members available. If we can't have all five members available before the 10th of July, then we can vote on the 10th of July for all four. But I can't believe we can't find a time that we can't do a telecon vote. And, you know, I think that the city can go ahead and plan on, or the school system can go ahead and plan on their 3% at this point in time. But I think that I think it's very important because of this change that all five board members should vote on it. So I propose that we table it until we can get all five board members together as soon as possible, even by telecon, to have a vote.
Questions? Ms. Eagle.
Did we have all five members present for the votes on the budget first and second reading?
We had all five board members available to discuss the budget at some extensive discussion, and this is a change from that discussion that we had.
If you're, and Lynn, you might can correct me on this. I think in answer to your question on second reading, we were not all here.
But we're all here on first reading.
On first reading, I believe. And I don't know if you remember, but I think that's as best I remember. I think that's where we were. Other questions? Okay, the request is to table the second reading to have a vote ASAP if necessary, and probably would be necessary, may not be, to do it electronically or telecommunications in some manner. All those in favor of doing that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Three nays, one aye. So we're back to the original motion, which was to revise the FY18 budget, and that would be a second reading. So we're going to vote on that. All those in favor of revising the FY18 budget on a second reading signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Okay. I think, Dr. Borchers, before we go on, I think just from that discussion that we had, and even you mentioned this, I think we're in a real good position to really make sure that we do get a good focus and good conversation and good information regarding compensation across the board for staff. And I would be talking about those people who are doing things that we discuss, such as the extended contract people, and we'll call them that. That's not what they are, but that's what they were. And to even the fact of what Mr. Reddick mentioned, to take a look at our coaching salaries, our maintenance staff salaries, our support staff salaries, and to try to come up to take a look to see what we can best do to continue to attract quality people who want to work in our system. And I really gave a lot of thought. I thought about this and had some conversations. And just the reason I voted to go ahead and do this is where I see us salary-wise and where I see districts around us salary-wise, I just want to make sure we try to keep on the same level with them to track the best people to come here. We've always been able to do that. We've slipped in doing that. We've been lucky now the last, this will be the fourth year or third year, that we've been able to give a salary adjustment. May not be able to do that next year. Who knows? But I think we've got to work to continue to do that so we don't continue to lose ground. When I came to Oak Ridge as a teacher, salary was not of an interest to me. I was just glad I had a job at that point in time. And a lot of people are like that. But times have changed now, and people are – and – I didn't probably realize how fortunate I was to be in this system at that time. Well, I know I didn't. But at that time, we didn't have the competition we're getting either from the districts that we're now getting. So we've got to do everything we can do, and that's why I voted to move forward.
As I mentioned earlier, we will be talking, having a phone conference with our consultant in regard to moving forward, and I very much would like to schedule a date with the board once we get that proposal and what we want to look at. So going forward, we do exactly what the board wants to see and be able to turn that product back over to the board.
And I think, too, that increases our I think we're in a position where we really have an opportunity to work hand in hand with members of city council, more so maybe than we've ever had. And I think by us doing that, and the fact that they're doing it, gives us an opportunity, I think, that we don't want to let slip by.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Since you described, you know, your position, I would like to at least say a few words about
absolutely.
My position, because what I don't want to happen is, you know, the papers to come out and say Bob Eby doesn't support raises for the schools, for the teachers and the staff, because I clearly do. All I was challenging was the timing of this thing, and you know, if I were in, and we talk about Ms. Marshall is not here, I understand that, but this thing came up after she left. And she's not even given an opportunity to speak about it and to say anything about it and to have a vote. And, you know, the reason I was pushing that we do that is that that is 20% of this board. And we elected her on this board, and we elected each one of us. And I think this is a very critical decision that should have had every board member to have a say on, you know, what happened here. I do support the staff. I do support the 3% raise. I'm glad that we can give that 3% raise. I also support that we should look at the extended contracts and the teachers that go above and beyond. And, you know, I've long been a supporter of that. I think that we need to compensate them. And I do hope that this study will look at that. And, I mean, it's going to be a challenge to decide this teacher does this, this teacher does that. It's not going to be something that can be done easily. But it's something that needs to get done, and we need to recognize those staff that go above and beyond, whether they're coaches or academics or arts, maskers, all these other people that video, you know, that spend the extra time. We need to recognize them. And so that's the reason I was proposing that we do that.
Well, and I would just follow up, and I think you're doing your due diligence as a board member to bring those things up, and I appreciate you doing that, because if we didn't, and the superintendent made the motion, we all just sat here and nodded our head, then we're not doing what we need to do as board members, and it makes us think through this process, and it makes us have that discussion, and that's what we ran to do, and that's what our duty is. So I appreciate that, and we know you're not doing it for a reason that you didn't want to do that. Okay, one of my favorite topics is next, the requested but not required fee list. Dr. Borchers.
We've got transfers before that.
Oh, sorry.
C.
Thank you for keeping me going. This is item C, transfer of funds. This is the second reading on that transfer, Dr. Borchers.
I didn't know this was your favorite item. But,
no, that one's not.
Oh, I recommend approval of the transfer of funds detailed on the attached information. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
And this is a second reading. You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean.
Again, this is a second reading. Some year-end grants, and the next two items are going to be the exact same thing.
Comments? All those in favor of approving FY17 budget transfer number 4, transfer of funds on second reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Now to my favorite item, the requested.
No.
Not a what?
This is transfer number 5.
Wait a minute, and I'm not reading something right here. Sorry. I just get so excited when I see that come up on the agenda. Okay, we just did number 4, so now I'm going to go to number 5. This is a first reading, FY17 budget transfer number 5, transfer of funds. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the transfer of funds detailed on the attached information. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. Akles, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
Again, this is a just kind of late grant money coming into the district, so having to make this change, and while you're going to see a first and a second reading, you remember the Read to Be Ready grant, and there's some CTE pieces in here.
Questions? Motion is FY17 budget transfer number 5, transfer of funds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item E, FY17 budget transfer number 5, transfer of funds, second reading. Dr. Borchers, we heard that, so I'll just go right to a motion.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Agle. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving FY17 budget transfer number 5, transfer of funds on a second reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Now we can get to requested but not required fee lists. Dr. Borchers.
And Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the requested but not required fee list for the 2017-18 school year.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
I'm going to ask Mr. Lay to review this with the board.
Okay. As you will notice, the elementary schools are not requesting any increase, nor are our middle schools requesting any increase. The changes are simply at the high school at this time. And basically, they are wanting to increase the cost of the ceramics class by $20, which would make that $75. The STEM labs that they are having basically just requires a lot of supplies, so they're asking for a new fee there, which is $10 per student. Basically, the language and culture prep, the AP class, they are requesting basically a $60 fee there, and that's just basically because it involves a lot of food and, once again, materials. Then you have the welding, basically going from $5 to $7, $8 to $10, and that's for goggles and gloves. And basically, those are the increases that the high school is recommending.
Ms. McLean.
You probably don't know this, but I'm curious as to what percentage of people pay the requested but not required fees.
I do not have an actual percentage, you're correct, but I can tell you, I mean, it's been, what, 5 years, 7 years, that basically it's been publicized that, you know, fees are requested, they're not required, and I can tell you that that has caught on and that the percentage of fees we are collecting continues to go down. It actually fluctuates according to what school you're in. The schools that basically have a higher level of low income seem to be suffering the most, but it is getting more difficult to collect fees.
This may be for another time for discussion. Ms. Agle, you might be able to help answer this a little bit. are we wasting our time if we legislatively have this discussion again on this?
Maybe this is the same question. I would think that we would have the total dollars that we are bringing in from fees. That ought to be fairly easy to get, not the percentage, but just the flat dollars, and that will tell us whether their time is worth it or not.
Yeah,
right. We can work on that, and I do know that we have, and I think it's $50,000 to supplement for students that do not pay fees, and once again, that account is not adequate for what's being requested. So,
well, to answer your question, Mr. Chairman, this is really not a legislative issue. This is not something that came from the legislature. This was a rule made by the Tennessee School Board. And I have attempted to contact various members on several occasions and have never even gotten a reply email.
So would it be, and I think Mr. Eby's point is well taken, if we get that number, that would tell us if we need, would this be something that we need through TSBA to push through their legislative platform this topic?
Well, and that's a good question, because I know that they are very well set up for communicating with our legislators, but I don't know how effective TSBA is and how well they're set up for trying to influence the state board on rules that they make separate from the legislature.
So then our follow-up question, how effective would the state legislature be if focusing on the state board?
They could be very effective.
So with that information, that's something on, as I said, on down the road but because obviously, as you said, as it continues pretty soon, that's going to be not that what we're doing already is not an important amount of money, but it's going to continue to be more money that we're subsidizing, so to speak.
Right. And, you know, in just further thought, you know, working in the schools, I don't have difficulty with the law. I think one reason that the percentage, and I'm quite confident when we look at the data that it will show that the percentage of fees being collected, it is becoming less and less. But, you know, sometimes you look at the work on a teacher, okay, they have a lot to do, and they don't want to embarrass a child. And we have some students that clearly they do not have the funds to pay these fees, so we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. But, you know, we have questioned sometimes, you know, is the effort we're putting forth to collect the fees what it should be? And once again, that's very difficult because you don't want to embarrass a child that doesn't have it. So, you know, so it's a complicated process, to say the least. But we do have some students, and a child should not miss out on an activity just because they can't pay the fee. So I support, you know, the meaning of the law. But once again, it's just gotten to the point that the money we're collecting seems to be much less. So.
And I agree. We want to do whatever it takes to make sure every student has the opportunity to do what it is within what we provide for them to do. We don't want them to miss out. I guess my thinking is probably too optimistic that somewhere along the line there's a funnel of money that could come our way to help resolve that. And
right,
not just our way, but other school districts who are similarly facing the same problem.
Right, I understand. You know, even when I looked at that $75 for the clay class, you know, I thought, or ceramics class, I thought, you know, there's probably some students that will basically sway away from that class because $75, especially the first few weeks of school, when you're buying clothing and other items, I mean, school supplies, that's a tough time for a lot of families. So.
And many times it might be that student who would best benefit from being in there.
Yes. So,
Ms. McClain.
So if there was a family who wanted to pay for their child and another child, is there an option for them to pay more than what the fee is?
We do not necessarily have an organized system in place, but once again, I am very confident if there is a child. Well, first of all, what we do have in this situation, yes, we do have that $50,000. And basically, if a student takes a required class, you know, basically, a request comes to us that the child did not pay the fee. But what happens as the school year goes on, that fund becomes depleted. But most situations like this, of course, you're going to collect that up front because it's a year-long course, so that money would be available. But there's also other situations in our schools where staffs and community members are taking care of our students. So I'm quite confident very few students truly go without. So,
Ms. Hagel.
Well, this discussion does beg a question, and particularly the notice of some of the fees that are high, like the $75 for the clay. It might be significantly easier for a number of families if some of these fees could be spread out, and so they're not collected until closer to the time that they will actually be used. You know, like for the tech classes, the CO2 for the dragsters, if they're not doing that in August, could they collect the fees in October maybe? Still ahead of when they're gonna use it, but, because you bring up a valid point, right at the beginning of school is when everything hits. You've got to have the new clothes and the new notebooks and the books and all the other things. And some of these obviously need to be at the beginning, the lab goggles, the vocabulary books and those sorts of things. But any of them that might be able to have the time stretched out to October or so, that could make it easier and might result in more parents being willing to pay even though they're not required.
And I can only speak to middle school, but those fees are collected the entire term, okay? And it's, you know, of course, they'll ask for them up front, but once again, if a student pays the third week, the fourth week, the third month, basically is collected. But at some point, they do draw the line. At that point, they'll request that those fees be reimbursed here from SAB. So.
Motion on the floor is approval of the requested but not required fee list. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, item G, College of Oak Ridge Founder Scholarship Fund. Dr. Bailey. Dr. Borchers. I'm having a bad night.
I recommend.
I'm having a really bad night.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval.
They both start with a B.
That's true. It's close. It's true. I recommend approval to transfer the College of Oak Ridge Scholarship Funds from Oak Ridge Schools to the East Tennessee Foundation as requested by the Rotary Club, the Rotary Club of Oak Ridge. Please see attached memorandum and documentation for details. And I believe we have some folks here tonight, Mr. Chairman, that would like to speak. Scott, are you speaking, Scott, from the Rotary Club
Should we get a motion on the floor first? I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Hagel.
Good evening. My name is Scott Smith. I'm from the Rotary Club of Oak Ridge. Got to clarify that. Don't want to. But I just have a quick statement. The Rotary Club of Oak Ridge and East Tennessee Foundation, as it pertains to the proposal in front of you, has basically three objectives. Number one, to maximize the availability of scholarship dollars for Oak Ridge high school seniors looking to further their education. Number two, to elevate awareness of this scholarship in the community through the presentation of award winners at a local Rotary Club meeting. And number three, to remove the administration and accounting responsibilities currently shouldered by the Oak Ridge school system. At the time of the scholarship's initial funding in 1979, CD rates were near 10%. Today, savings and CD rates are below the rate of inflation and not producing a return that's maximizing this scholarship endowment. The Rotary Club of Oak Ridge is petitioning the school board to consider our proposal to allow these funds to be released to the East Tennessee Foundation and allow the Rotary Club of Oak Ridge to be involved in the selection and presentation of scholarship recipients. We have Mel Sturm here. He is a former board member from the founders of College of Oak Ridge, and we have Sherry Alley from the East Tennessee Foundation as well, here in attendance to answer any questions that you might have.
Mr. Eby.
Two questions, just so you can get proper recognition. The Rotary Club of Oak Ridge is the one that meets at what time?
Noon.
Okay, thank you. I'm familiar with the East Tennessee Foundation. I support the Butterfly Fund of East Tennessee, which East Tennessee Foundation does that too. And I think this is an excellent move to do. And thank you for willingness to do that. And thank you, the Rotary Club, for the scholarships. We very much appreciate that.
Other comments or questions from the board? Ms. Eagle.
Just a comment so that maybe the public who are raptly watching at home will understand. It has been just in the last 10 or 12 years that the state law changed in terms of what school districts and cities can invest in. It's much more restrictive. So allowing a foundation to oversee these funds, they are able to invest it in things that have a higher rate of return.
Hearing no other questions, and thank you all for being here, and thank you for your patience waiting on us to get to you. Motion is approval of the College of Oak Ridge Founders Scholarship Fund. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is Board Policy 4.601, Reporting Student Progress. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.601, Reporting Student Progress. Changes are in red.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, this was Dr. Beckendorf's item, but it's very simple. You can see that we have added our learning management system, which is Canvas, because at the time this policy was written, Skyward was the only place to go to get this information, and we just want parents and community know that there are two different places, and we're removing Skyward. Not that we're changing from Skyward, but wanting to make sure that we just title them as the systems they are in the future if something should change.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, this was a first reading on this policy, correct?
Yes, it is.
To approve on first reading Board Policy 4.601, Reporting Student Progress. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the Oak Ridge High School athletic ticket price increase. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the Oak Ridge High School athletic ticket price increase for football and basketball beginning July 1st, 2017.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, we have Mr. Mullins in the audience, Mr. Lay here. If you look at the attachment, and hopefully you've looked through that, you'll find the rationale for this, the costs that have gone up over the years. The second page has comparisons, which I think is pretty telling. And then you have the proposed ticket prices. But again, Mr. Mullins and Mr. Lay can take some more detailed questions if there are some.
Questions or comments from the board? Mr. Mullins, I hate for you to sit there, have been here, and not have any questions asked to you, but it seems to be pretty cut and dried, and the reasons seem to be very obvious. Seeing or hearing no questions, motion on the floor is approval of the Oak Ridge High School athletic ticket price increase. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for coming, Mike. Next item is Head Start budget final approval and van purchase request. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the Head Start final budget and the request for a purchase of a van.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers?
This is something we routinely do, but tonight we have the van purchase on there, and we were asked to put that on the board agenda by Anderson County. Correct, Mr. Lee?
That is correct, because before Head Start will make the approval, and this is the Atlanta office Head Start, basically we have to have the approval from the Anderson County School Board and, of course, the Oak Ridge School Board before they will grant permission for the purchase.
Mr. Eby?
Yes, I just had one question. I noticed it's coming from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Normally we show multiple bids on these things. Did we go out and look for alternatives?
Yes, sir. We actually had three bids, and originally the lowest bid was the state bid, but once again went locally to see if that could be beaten. That's basically what's going to happen. So the other drawback, according to Mr. Thacker, that I was not aware of, if you go with the state bid, you may wind up picking up that vehicle from Memphis, okay? And of course, the service isn't going to be real good from Memphis, all right? So we're trying to keep it local, and basically, but it will, we're asking, of course, approval for $24,000, and once again, we will go with the lowest bid, but we'll definitely be below the $24,000.
Thank you.
Motion on the floor is approval of the Head Start budget, final approval, and van purchase request. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda, preschool reclassification of a position. Dr. Borchers?
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of reclassification of a 0.5 teaching assistant position to a 0.75 family services family advocate.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers?
I support this request from Ms. Downard. As you can see from the memo, funds are available for this, and this is also going to be done through attrition. So I believe it's a good reclassification.
Questions? Mr. Eby?
One question. The teaching assistant position that we're losing versus the family services, family advocate, just explain to me how we're not impacting the teaching of the teachers, staffs, et cetera. I mean, is this a benefit? Kind of the overall trade-off.
The current half-time TA that's in the budget is essentially a floater TA, and what she does at this time, her schedule this past year has been to provide a break for the teacher or the TA, because the state, through Head Start standards, we can no longer allow them to take a break during the nap time. So she has been doing that, and we are making plans to still provide those breaks, but through a different means, through our family advocates rather than through a TA position. We didn't feel that that was a good use of her time. So by making this a family advocate, they have more contact with families, and they would still be able to provide those breaks for the teachers as well.
Other questions? Motion is approval of the preschool reclassification. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item, Head Start COLA supplement application. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the Head Start COLA supplemental application.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
You can see from the attachment what you're really doing is approving the ability to go up and apply for these extra dollars. It's not much, but it's always something that can be used for FY18 salary should we get or have our application approved.
Are Questions? Mr. Abey?
So is this 1% COLA sort of roll into the existing increases we're talking about, or is this above and beyond? This rolls in, so.
And the breakdown would be, it's already been figured out, basically $4,636 would go into the teacher's salary line, $1,887 in the TA's, $1,358 in the family services, for a total of $7,881 in next year's salary. So.
Motion on the floor is approval of the Head Start COLA supplemental application. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item, item M, Oak Ridge Schools Discipline Code Handbook. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the 2017-18 Oak Ridge Schools Discipline Code Handbook.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
The first page there has a summary of the changes that have been made, and Mr. Lay, Dr. Henderson, are available for questions.
Questions? Hearing none, motion on the floor is approval of the Oak Ridge Schools Discipline Code Handbook. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item N, realignment and reclassification of 1.5 business office positions. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the realignment and reclassification of 1.5 business office positions to assistant accountant and business office clerk.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
I'll turn to Karen. Do you want to just briefly give a summary, Karen?
Sure. There's a pretty detailed memo attachment there that kind of lays out. This isn't adding any new positions. It's just taking existing positions and reassigning based on workloads and based on, you know, new requirements and old requirements going away, that kind of thing. So it's just the best use of staff time. I have Pat Smith here if there are any questions or concerns.
Questions? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is approval of a realignment and reclassification of 1.5 business office positions. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And finally, item O, FY18 food service contract. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the food service contract with Aramark Educational Services Incorporated for fiscal year 2018.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
I'll turn to Karen if we have more detailed questions, but you can see from the attachment, I think the most important part is that second paragraph, no increases in meal prices, and just a reminder, this is a self-supporting program and does not impact the general fund.
Questions? Hearing none, motion on the floor is approval of the FY18 food service contract. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Then we move to items for information. Item A, enrollment. Any questions? Item B, attendance. Any questions?
Of course. No, Mr. Lay and I have already talked about it. So I think we're seeing that it is helpful getting information and seeing the trends.
We are. I shared with Mr. Eby prior to the meeting, you know, the question we had last meeting about just high absenteeism with the 12th graders at the high school. It would have been nice to have had this information from last May, and we could have done a comparison, but that wasn't available. From this point on, we will have something to compare to for every month. And if you look at the graphs, we are seeing improvement at some schools. We have some schools that we're not seeing improvement, but we have worked all year long with basically combating truancy, and I really feel like we're in a good place as far as a process for us to help support families and support students in attending school. So I think the best is yet to come personally, so but we'll continue to work on it.
Item C, financial report.
So as we come down the end of the school year, we're almost to the end of the fiscal year, how do you feel about our overall revenues compared to expectations?
Well, looking at, we're about 91.9% through the year, and our revenues are at 91.7. So that's pretty good.
And our expenditures?
And our expenditures are under at this point, but we did have some end of the year. We will have some end of the year spending that's not reflected on this particular report yet. So, thank you. You can see, though, with the current property tax and sales tax at the top, the property tax is a little bit ahead. The sales tax is a little bit behind. So hopefully they're balancing each other out somewhat. They're really different amounts, so it's not a percent balance, but there's some balance there.
And I know that when we looked at our new budget, you know, you had projected what our fund balance would be at the end of this year and going forward. How does what you now know compare, our fund balance larger than what you expected or what?
Well, we were planning on about $750,000 going into fund balance at the end of this year. So I actually just received another payroll report today that I have yet to look at, but that will confirm that as being yes or no. It may even be a little bit more than that. So I think we're in pretty good shape.
Thank you.
Item D, Board of Education meeting calendar for 2017-18.
I was wondering if there's any way we could change, I think it's the August meeting, I'm going to be out of town, and move that. Let's see. Nope, that one's not that one. Hold on a second.
If we could move the August meeting, that would be excellent for me as well, because be out on the
28th. Yeah, that one's not my problem. But go ahead. I mean, I'm good for, let's see.
Did you have it?
Well, I don't see that. I don't see where the conflict will. Oh, I know what it is. It's next March meeting. That's the one I'd like to move up a week. So. Right. I'm going to be out of the country then, so whatever.
Yeah, if we move it up a week, we're going to be in spring break.
What about, I'll just miss that one.
What are we looking like for this August 7th meeting?
I'm at it. August 7th is good for me.
That's fine. Okay. Then we'll, if we're in agreement with all that, then we'll just leave it as it is. And next, items for discussion. Any old business? New business? Communications? In our next meeting, will be August the 7th at 6 p.m. Thank each of you who came tonight for being here. We are adjourned.